good news. I want to tell you there is a silver lining. We didn't catch this place on fire. We're playing with fire here today. But praise the Lord, it's Advent. And I've wondered how we'd be able to do it. And we're all friends here, right? So the main thing is we want to be worshipful. We want to give God glory. We want to hear from His Word. This morning, I have the final reading, obviously, with the sermon. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I was telling my wife and I was telling Dan before service started that it's very difficult to preach this stuff sometimes because we're living in a strange political climate here in America that it's something that we're not used to. And I got to be honest with you, it's difficult because I already know that the world hates Jesus Christ. Did you know that? I know it's hard to believe. And Jesus said that the world is going to hate us as well. And I don't know about you, but I like to be liked by people. And it becomes a very big challenge for me to be able to preach some of this stuff. So this morning, we're going to be talking about something that may not be what every Christian is excited about. We're going to talk about the return of Jesus Christ. And so we've lit the candle. We've marked the first coming of Jesus, His first time coming and freeing us from our sin and paying the price for us. And then we also lit this candle to remember and remind ourselves that He is coming again. And so I titled this message, Hope Over Despair, because this year we have had quite a year, haven't we? And I've seen the memes on Facebook, 2020. You know, I saw someone last night say we need to start praying right now for 2021 because this year was so bad that we want to make sure that we get a head start. I understood what they were saying and that it was funny, but it's also a certain amount of truth, which unfortunately, sometimes you'll find a lot of comedy right there. And so we do have a year that we are putting behind us right now that has been very difficult for many people. In fact, this year people have lost their jobs. People have had devastating things happen to their families. Lives have been dramatically changed this year. COVID-19 came and dramatically changed the United States, in fact. And so we're in the middle of a pandemic. It is something that is actually happening. We experienced a lot of shortage with supplies. We're starting to experience some shortage again, especially the paper products. So it's becoming, unfortunate for us, and we dread these things. And so I think of people like last year when COVID-19 hit, or this year still, I'm sorry, COVID-19 hit. I told you all that we were walking students to get their belongings and for one last trip down the hall because we were going home. We didn't know what was going to happen. You all didn't either, and we didn't know if we'd be able to come back to school. All sorts of things were going through our minds, and we were wondering, how serious this pandemic was going to be. And I remember there was one student in the classroom that we worked with last year who would say things, and you may have heard me say this, that he would blurt out in the class, "I hate you. I hate all you people. I hate this school. I wish it would burn down. I wish you all would die." Just say stuff like that to us. And, after a while, it kind of wore us down a little bit. We would get tired of it. There was something else going on. I don't want you to judge the person because there's something else going on when you hear something like that. He was in a home where he wasn't loved. And so when we walked him back to get his belongings, I'll never forget the look on his face. He was dreading. He had a look of despair on him because he knew that he wasn't coming back into school for the rest of the year, and he had to go home with people who don't love him. And I felt bad for him. I remember walking a parent in to get her son or daughter stuff, and she was one of the first people that lost her job over this COVID-19. She was a server. And so she was in despair as well. She didn't know what was going to happen. Surely you all know the United States government can't take care of us, right? You know that the government cannot provide for our needs. They say they can, but they can't. So can you imagine, she wants to work and is willing to work, and she can't provide for her family all of a sudden. You know, this holiday season is strange too, because there are a lot of people who are experiencing firsts. Some are experiencing a holiday without someone they love very much in their lives. Maybe some have lost someone to COVID-19. I know people who have lost their lives. There's a lot of stuff that's happened, and it feels very depressing to very many people. There's a lot of despair out there right now. And so what I think about when I see on Facebook, for instance, since we do a lot of things on Facebook now, when I look at Facebook, what stands out to me is how many Christians are so much dreading right now all of the changes that are happening and the possibility that Jesus could be on the cusp of returning to our world. Hear what I just said. There are Christians who will tell you they look forward to Jesus' return, but in reality, what they say and they do, it would seem to say that they're not really looking forward to Christ coming back, because we love our lives here in this world so much. So you and I this morning, those of us in this room right now, and if you're watching on the internet, we are standing together and we are connected together on account of the belief that Jesus Christ is going to return, that this life is not it. There is more to come. So we stand to be counted with the church. Y'all see that, right? More and more people are forgetting this. And I think of the church in Jesus' time as he was beginning the church. And in fact, in more particular, I think of the church in Peter's time after Jesus was raised back to life. I think of a church that was in Rome, which is where the book of Mark was written to, where the church was young in Rome, a bunch of young people who hadn't been through difficulties yet, that were on the cusp of actually going through some extreme difficulties. And so when you think about the book of Mark, which is where we'll be at, you start to remember that when Peter is writing this through his secretary, John Mark, he's writing this book to that young church who's getting ready to face intense persecution because they believe that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings because of their belief. In fact, I would say there are churches all over the world right now who are being persecuted because of their belief in Jesus Christ. And so this morning, what would happen is, if we could, we would tell them that they are to have hope over despair, because they're probably in despair, wondering what's going to happen next. Many people we know personally are concerned about what's going to happen in the United States in particular next. We don't know. We are in uncharted territory, and I can tell you that there are people who are depressed and are feeling a great deal of anxiety right now, but here's the good news. We have hope over despair because Jesus is going to rescue his church. You know, we long for him to come back. We don't desire to remain here forever. So this morning, before I read this passage, one thing I challenge you to do is, if you're a Christian who is concerned about remaining alive or remaining in this world, can I tell you that maybe this is a moment where you reevaluate what you actually believe and think about Jesus Christ? This is where it is. So I'm going to start reading this passage. This is Mark chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 24 to 37. And so when we get into this, Jesus is answering, where we start reading, the second part of a two questions that the disciples ask him about when Jerusalem would be destroyed and when he would return. We're going into the place where he's talking about the end of the world, the end of time, where he comes to rescue his church, okay? So let's start with verse 24, and we'll finish the chapter, and it says this. But in those days, and that but means a contrast to what was before it in a conjunction. So that's how we know. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about the day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. So we know who he's talking to, right? He is talking to the church. Notice how the church is going to respond when they have to suffer. Look at the first thing I want you to see. Followers of Christ have hope over despair because Christ will rescue us from uncertainty. So as I was saying, can you imagine being in the church in Rome, and what's happening is Peter is teaching you. He's saying to you, look, we know the political climate of the day is getting to become, it's starting to become very intense. It's going to be difficult for you. And so here's how I want you to take part. I don't want you to despair. I want you to find hope in what I'm going to tell you. So Peter says to them, the very person that you have given your heart to, the very person that you say you want to serve, Jesus Christ, he is the one that was murdered because the world hated him. And that very same person, the Son of God, was raised back to life. This church, this is where you find your hope. Very often, the church, especially here in America, we like to serve the Jesus that we pray for miracles from, who's going to deliver us from terrible tragedies in our lives. But very often, he allows us to go through those things. And he says to us, here's where your hope comes from. I have conquered death. And so the church then is going to take heart and say, to be reminded by Peter then, look, here's what is said to you. You're here when Jesus decides to return. He says, look, you're going to suffer right now. You're going to suffer for political persecution, possibly here in Rome. We know they did. But he also said, but also be aware, if Jesus should return, that you're going to see the sun and the moon and the stars to no longer give its light. But don't worry about it. Take heart. Don't despair because you have hope, because Jesus is going to rescue his people. And so what we understand then, if you're someone in the church in those days, you know that what Peter's doing is he's connecting the sun and the moon and the stars not giving their light to what the plague just before in Exodus, before the firstborn was taken. He's talking about that plague of darkness that was experienced in Egypt. He says, look, it's going to be just like this. Now, church, I'm going to tell you something. I assume what I'm saying isn't popular. This is where it gets difficult to preach what we hear and see in Scripture. But apparently, Jesus is wanting those who follow him to recognize has happened because they're still here. And in the church in America, we don't tell people they suffer anymore. We don't do that because we're trying to grow our churches. We don't want people to not come because they're going to hear bad news. At least for someone who loves this world, it's bad news, right? But those who love Jesus Christ and are anticipating the life to come, it may feel like bad news, but it's actually good news. So what's happened in Egypt is God was going to rescue his children. You know the story. And so the Pharaoh, he was rejecting God's will. He said, look, I'm not going to let your people go. God was wanting his people to come out of Egypt. Pharaoh said, I'm not going to let them go. So after several plagues, God said to Moses, he says, I'm going to send darkness that you can actually feel on this land. Now, what was interesting is that that darkness, the Egyptians couldn't see anything, but the Israelites had light where they lived. Now, I don't know if it's going to be that way for Christians, but I know this. You better believe that the Israelites were experiencing the despair at the same time the Egyptians were. But their hope was in the fact that God was going to rescue them, right? Which is the same thing for us. And so here's what the church is comforting itself on, that Peter's telling them, when these things happen, just like in Revelation chapter 8, when the third or fourth trumpet sounds, there's going to be darkness on the earth. But take heart. Don't despair. Jesus is going to rescue you. He's going to rescue all of us. This is where our hope comes from. Because we exist together and we are longing for the return of Jesus Christ. We Christians have got to start thinking the way it's supposed to be. We've got to quit trying to make our home in this world the way it is now. We want to make our home with Jesus in this world the way it's going to be. So let's look at the next thing I want you to see. Followers of Christ have hope over despair because we do not suffer alone. So I said in the start, I said there are people right now who are very alone. In fact, this is what blows my mind. The media tries to portray that you being alone is normal. That is not normal. You know that. We're created for community with Christ and with each other. When they say hashtag alone together, let me tell you something. That's antichrist. I know that's not popular for me to say, and there's probably a Christian right now who's thinking, well, Pastor, what are we supposed to do, infect each other? Look, I'm not saying that, but what I'm telling you is when people are separating you, that's antichrist. Because we're created for community with each other, and not just any community, a community that follows the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We are ministering to each other within that community. This is how God's kingdom works. So here we are. We're not going to suffer alone. So I think about this, and what I see in this passage that stood out to me was that I know it said he's going to gather the elect, and some of you are going to say, well, Pastor, does that mean that he's picking and choosing those who are going to heaven? No, it's the church who's going to heaven. That's the elect. But it's up to you whether or not you decide to be a part of the church. Well, that flies in the face of what a lot of Christians believe, doesn't it? Because we say we don't have to be part of a church. But he's gathering the church together. And what we find then is through this whole time, I don't know about you, but when I suffer, I think I'm the only one that's going through this thing that I'm going through. And I feel very alone. And I feel like maybe God has forgotten me. And maybe nobody understands what I'm going through, but I'm telling you something this morning, that when Jesus says he's going to gather his elect together, that means just like Elijah learned, you and I are not alone. You remember Elijah? He thought he was the only prophet left in Israel. And God said, oh, no, Elijah. I have 7,000 other prophets who have not bent a knee to Baal, just like you haven't. You're not alone. You may feel alone, but understand when you feel alone, and you feel despair in being alone, this is when you take heart. You remember that there are others that are going through what you're going through, and we all have hope together. We have hope. I can do so many things and go through so many things when I know I'm not the only one going through them. It's crazy. I don't know why, but it strengthens me somehow. You and I are not alone. When Jesus comes, He's going to bring us together, and we're going to be victorious with Him. But yes, so far we are suffering. Because remember what I said? And it's up and below, above what we where we started reading. Jesus said, the world will hate you, but it hated me first. This is why this stuff is so awkward to preach. Because we're living in a time right now where it's not popular to hold a biblical belief about Jesus Christ. And you're seeing a lot of people bend right now what they believe so that the world won't hate them. I got to move on, but I'm going to tell you something. Churches need to start talking about the possibility of suffering soon. Because you and I will be tested. If Jesus should come back soon, you and I will be tested with whether or not we are truly His or not. That's just the way it is. But we can't bend what God's Word says so that the world will embrace us. Beware of that. What I'm saying to you right now, this is where you say, the pastor has just said something that not many others are saying. Well, if that's the case, that's why you need to read your Bible. You need to read it yourself, I'm telling you. If ever there was a time you'd read it, it's now. Look at the last thing I want you to see. Followers of Christ have hope because watchfulness keeps hope alive. Well, we certainly are going to have hope if we're being watchful. Jesus said, look, you must be watchful. He says, what I say to you, I'm saying to everyone. In other words, those generations who are coming after you that I'm speaking this to, everybody who lives that follows Jesus Christ is to remain watchful. And we made a big deal of this for several months here about what it looks like to remain watchful. But I know this, Jesus is saying, do this in present tense, which means continuously be watchful. So that means I have to intentionally, continuously, if you will, be watchful. And being watchful, what does that look like? Well, it certainly doesn't mean that we're looking up at the sky and just thinking, is this the day? Today might be the day. That's not how we do it. I remember being with a family one time. It seemed like that their pastor always talked about the end of the world. And that's why generally I only do it several times a year, because it just overwhelmed somebody who doesn't know Jesus in a personal way. It was too much to understand. I couldn't hardly take it. And so, but he talked about the end of the world all the time. And the family that I knew, it just seemed like the way that they were being watchful was they were literally. Can I tell you, Christians, this isn't how we do it. If you and I are going to be continuously watchful, that means we're doing what Jesus told us to do. Did you pick up on the parable where he said it's like the owner of the house who goes away? He said, you don't know when he's coming back because he's not going to tell you, but he's given each servant a task. You know, one of those passages in those readings we read, I think it was the third one. The Apostle Paul said, he was speaking to the church, he said, all of the gifts have been given to you from the Holy Spirit. In other words, everything that you need to be able to make disciples and add to the church universal, you've already been given. It's just a matter of whether or not you're going to do what God's called you to do. And let me tell you, when Jesus says be watchful, he's telling you to make disciples out of the love you have for God and your neighbor, in spite of how unpopular it might be in your community or in your nation. This is huge. this idea that we just simply believe and go without having to somehow put a little skin in the game. We got to get away from that. I always tell you, the student is not greater than the teacher. In other words, what Jesus was saying is, what I went through, you should expect to go through too. This is the way it works. So being watchful means I'm intentional about making disciples because I believe the time is near, and I don't know when it is, but I know one thing, when he does return in all his glory, instead of me hiding out in despair, I want him to see me living in the hope that I have, in the life that I'm going to have through him. I want him to catch me being watchful in the way he's called me to. So this morning, you might somehow feel like God has forgotten about you with whatever you're facing in your life right now. And I want you to know something. It's very possible that you feel that way because I understand I've experienced that in my life several times, but he's not forgotten about you. He has not. And he has not forgotten about his church. In fact, if you go back through the Old Testament, you'll see a lot of the Israelites' prayers always asking and saying, they actually are even saying, Lord, they don't even believe you're real because you're not saving us from what we're going through right now. It's as if our prayers are just falling on deaf ears. They are not. Don't you fall for that. Don't you give up on Jesus, because this is where your hope comes from. The suffering that you are going through right now actually should trigger you to remember that your hope comes from Jesus rescuing you and I from this suffering eventually. We will find peace with him in eternal life if we follow him. If you're someone this morning who feels like you're alone, I want you to know something. You are not. You are not alone. And I will go so far as to say thank God for social media. You need to reach out to people on social media. You need to make phone calls. Even if you feel like people don't really want to talk to you, you go ahead and make the phone call. You're probably, your heart's lying to you. Don't feel alone. Remember what Jesus said? There's a whole bunch of people in the world that probably feel alone. I'm paraphrasing a little bit and adding here. But he's going to gather the elect together who were suffering the same time that you are suffering. Don't feel alone. And for those of you who are thinking, well, I don't know about being watchful, Pastor, because we're under these restrictions right now. And, you know, and there are actually governors telling us that we better stay away from each other. Did you hear about the one that said if there's more than six in the house, they're asking for the neighbors to turn in people? Does that not sound biblical, y'all? That's what Jesus said it would be like. Let me tell you something. If you are feeling despair right now because you're not watching in the right way, here's where you start. You start sharing Jesus with people who don't know who he is. You do this. I promise you, it will lift you up. You will feel the hope that you're supposed to have because it will keep the hope alive in you. If you are sharing Christ with those who don't, I'm not talking about people who know who he is and go to church somewhere else. Okay? Let them be. They need to be doing what you're doing as well. We are connecting people who are without Christ to him. This is what being watchful means. This morning, can you imagine if churches started to understand that there may be a certain amount of suffering that our Lord and Savior is going to let us experience, and if they got motivated out of the love that they have for their families and friends that they live with, what would it look like if they started making disciples this morning because they thought time was short? I think that what we would see is a packed house in spite of COVID-19. And I'm going to tell you something. It'll get even more unpopular for us to be meeting together. Don't stop. Don't stop. All of those will commands about meeting together, Jesus gave those to people who, if they met together, might actually be murdered by the government or the Jews at the time because it was so unpopular. If he meant that for them, you think it's possible he means it for us as well? Or is he playing favorites? I don't think he plays favorites. So right now, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, here's where you need to ask God for strength. I don't know what tomorrow looks like, but I know the person who holds tomorrow. You've heard that before. And that person may let tomorrow get very rough for us. But don't despair. Accept the hope that he is offering you, that he will come to rescue you. Let's pray. Father, we come before you now. We are mindful of your word. We have heard your word this morning. We've even connected it to the times that we've lived in, that we are living in now. Lord, I would ask, Lord, if there's anybody within the sound of my voice that is struggling with anything that has been mentioned here, that the Holy Spirit would speak to them in such a way that they would read Scripture for themselves, in such a way that they can teach it to their family and friends, Lord, not just for their benefit, but for the benefit of those who are around them, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be people who are strong, people who, in spite of what we experience, feel, and face here on earth, Lord, that we still commit to trusting in you and obeying you in spite of all of it. Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen your church universal, Lord. Strengthen everyone. And Lord, we pray for your soon return. We ask that you come quickly, Lord, to rescue us and to rescue our brothers and sisters who are struggling and suffering even more than what we are. Lord, we would ask these things in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen.